Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, we are going to be talking about karma, what it is, what it means, and can it limit your ability to create the life you want for yourself? Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of the podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of the consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a wonderful way to help carry the message that the podcast offers. Now, on the podcast, we have a few series. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sunday, and then I do try to throw in an extra episode like today, here and there, on a related topic, maybe something having to do with mental health. That is my professional background. I've been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. So you'll often hear topics like mental health, mental illness, relationships, being happy, meditation, mindfulness, basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. Now, I have been thinking about this for, I don't really know why. It just topics just come up in my mind and they tend to rent some space there for a little while. And lately I've been thinking about karma, and I've done other episodes. It's been a while. It's been definitely over a year that I've talked about karma. I have a couple podcast episodes where I've alluded to it, and maybe a few YouTube videos, one maybe where I talked about it. But I think it's such an amazing thing to explore, this idea of karma, the concept of karma, and our relationship to karma. And especially, I think, which I hope as we move along through this episode, what I really want to bring attention to is our own kind of subjective beliefs about what karma is, and how much that affects the role that karma can play in our lives. So I think when people hear that word karma, most people, they immediately have a lot of assumptions arise in their mind. There's a lot of people, at least that I personally have spoken to, comment section on YouTube channel and in Facebook groups and different online, venues and even in person. I've had a lot of people say that they don't like the concept of karma because it implies limitation, or, you know, I guess the classic one is, you know, oh, it basically means that something you did in a past life is now going to determine this current life, and there's nothing you can do to change it. So from that angle, it appears as a very limiting kind of thing. And it appears as something that really disempowers you as an individual to, create the life of your dreams, create the life you want. Because if you have, for example, if you have like horrible karma, oh my God, then you're going to be, you know, your whole life is going to be suffering because of something that you don't even remember doing, right, in your past life. And I admit, you know, when I first heard of karma, this was I'm exaggerating it a little bit there, but it was sort of the idea that I had of it. And it was through, you know, working with a lot of different teachers, reading a lot of books, and just honestly, which sounds a little bit maybe just unexpected, my own work in mental health, working with people who work through emotional issues, behavioral issues, issues with their thinking, it has given me a whole different idea, a whole different definition of what karma is. So I just gave you the, I guess, the maybe slightly exaggerated form of what a lot of people believe karma is, which is, like I just said, you did something in your past life, which is now affecting your current life. And that whole idea is, I mean, there may be, and I don't want to offend anyone, there may be some religious groups, or religions that maybe look at karma that way. That is not in any way, shape, or form, my understanding of karma today. So, let's talk about this a little bit because, I believe that the more we explore this idea of karma and we really, really look very clearly at exactly what karma is, it will empower us actually to make changes in our moment-to-moment living that can actually expand our ability to choose the life that we want for ourselves, to make choices in our thinking, in our feelings, in our behaviors that lead more toward our goals. So, I guess starting with the very basic here, and I'm going to use a kind of modern day example here to talk about to bring karma, this idea of karma into kind of more modern understanding. So I want to just, I worked for quite a few years, I think about 4 years, close to 4 years, strictly in substance abuse. Obviously, substance abuse plays a role in a lot of other, illnesses with which, I've worked. But there was a specific period of time, between 3 and 4 years during which I was working, with individuals that their primary issue was substance abuse. And substance abuse is such a amazing example of what karma or how karma presents in someone's life. So the idea here is that let's say, I'm just totally hypothetical here. Let's say you have someone who, picks up a substance around the age of 14, 13, maybe 15, and they begin using it, this substance, whether it's whatever substance, marijuana, alcohol, whatever, it doesn't matter. They start using it in a group of friends and they find social acceptance with this group of friends, and this behavior stays with the person through their late teens and becomes, they go on to other maybe substances that are more addictive, and their first half of their 20s or all their 20s, they're in the throes or the grip of really horrible substance abuse issues, in the grips of that active addiction, right? What you can say is that these behaviors that the person is engaged in, meaning all the thoughts that are being shaped during this time period of the addiction, all of the behaviors being shaped during this time period of the addiction, all of the emotions that are being produced through this time period of the active addiction, they are all what? They're all shaping this person, shaping their personality, shaping their mind, shaping them, right? Whatever the person is, right? I'm using here relative terms. Shapes this individual a certain way, right? It's almost as if one of my favorite metaphors for this that I've used here a couple times is it, imagine that your mind, picture it as an endless field of just soil, right? Just soil, and anything can grow out of that soil, any reality, any type of mind, right? And as you engage, or this person that we're talking about in this example, as this person engages in this types of thinking, this type of behavior, this type of emotions, it's almost as if you are taking a certain type of plow, okay? And you're creating these pathways through the soil, right? Through the mind, you're creating these pathways. And the longer the person engages in that type of behavior, that type of thinking behavior, emotional behavior, and just behavior, you those pathways get stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, the amazing thing is that at any point in time, because I've seen it happen 10 years that way, 20 years that way, 30 years that way, that person can create tremendous change, right? Through maybe, I don't know, they hit a bottom, they go into treatment, they decide that they don't want to do this to themselves anymore. They begin making a lot of changes. They begin changing their environment. They begin changing the way they think. They begin, wonderful. You can do those things. All those things are absolutely possible. But, and this is very important, that person has still, that history doesn't just disappear, right? It doesn't disappear. And lots of studies have shown, and I've worked with tons of people where this has been shown, that if you take someone like that, okay, who has, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of that type of shaping, right, in that substance abuse, when if that person becomes abstinent, right, and doesn't do any substances for a while, let's say 5 years, 10 years, whatever, if they by chance happen to ingest any substance, alcohol, drug, whatever it is, the susceptibility doesn't mean 100% guarantee they're going to go right back to that life they were living, but the susceptibility and the chances, the probability that that old life is going to come back is extremely high. And this is a very good example of one type of karma. Okay, so karma is really all that it really is. It's the effect of living, the effect that our lives currently have, the effect that is rising from ways of thinking, behaving, and feeling that we have practiced for a long time. So addiction is a really like palpable example, but we all have karma. We all have karma. In a way, if you're looking at this or using terminology from something like, for example, you know, a law of attraction or manifesting, you could say that karma is your subconscious beliefs, your limiting beliefs. It's just things that you have held on to over time. Maybe things like I'm not deserving enough, or you know, I don't know why this doesn't happen for me, or I you know, I'm not lovable, or you know, I've always been poor, I've never been successful with money. These types of beliefs, and a lot of these, right, we learn from caregivers, right, when we're little. This is a form of karma as well. Is that we learn perhaps as a child, maybe you had parents that were absent, or a parent who maybe you were neglected, maybe whatever. This puts in us very powerful beliefs, messages, and these beliefs obviously begin to shape our minds, shape the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we behave. It's just as I've been describing. And this now becomes the karma that is shaping our moment-to-moment reality. So in a sense, as I've said here a couple times in the past, we all experience our current moment reality, our moment-to-moment reality, through filters that exist from our past experience. We take all of the current information that we have coming to us through our five senses, and we filter out a lot of it. I've talked about this a whole lot. We filter out a lot of it simply because our five senses can't record everything that's happening at every moment, so it's too much information. Plus, we have our attention gate, which cuts out a lot of what is picked up, and we also have then our own beliefs about what we are hearing. We have our own way of looking at things, our own perspectives, our own subjective point of view, and we kind of tend to pick and choose what most matches our past experience. That's how we continue to make sense of our lives. Unfortunately, this is not all bad, right? I mean, we need to do this in order to live, in order to function. If you had to relearn everything every moment, you would go crazy. But it also creates a tremendous margin of error, right? And we tend to reinterpret each present moment through the lens of the past. Absolutely true for probably 99.9% of human beings on this planet. And this filtering process is an example of our karma. Now, the miracle here is that because of the gift of our consciousness, right, and the relationship that we have to our own thoughts and our own mind, there is a way to change our karma. And that's exactly what I'm going to get into in just a moment. Just let me pause here to allow a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, you all, thanks for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a moment here, remind you that if you ever have a question, or you want to express a concern, make a suggestion, or offer a suggested topic for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherreal@gmail.com. Or you could hop on over to the YouTube channel, same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. You could post a comment, I get notification right away, and I can respond. You can also find me on Twitter. It is Dreams Warp, all one word. Send me a direct message there. And follow me while you're there on Twitter. I do post things there pretty much daily. Little tidbits I find that help us remember to focus on our practice, focus on our breath, focus on the present moment. So you could follow me there to get that good stuff as well. Finally, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you are enjoying the content, I hope you'll take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. That's a wonderful way to support the podcast. Really appreciate that. Okay. So, there is, while I was on that little break, I just thought of like so many things that are related to this topic that, if I just went on and on about this idea of karma, this podcast episode would just, I don't know, possibly go on forever. But another way, the simplest way, I think, to explain karma is just basically the rule of cause and effect. If you believe in the rule of cause and effect, then you believe in karma. Everything we do has a reaction. And again, I'm talking here in terms of our relative reality, right? Ultimate reality, everything is timeless, everything happens in the now. And of course, that is ultimately what is true. But in our subjective, from our subjective perspective, this moment-to-moment reality that we find ourselves in through these physical bodies, karma is basically a manifestation of cause and effect. Is that we create causes through our thinking, through our behaviors, through the way that we feel, and how we relate to the way that we feel. We create causes that lead to, again, from our perspective, future effects. Very, very simple, not complicated, right? And a lot of us, we, as I was just describing a couple minutes ago, we learn to depend on these filters to interpret our moment-to-moment reality, and we learn to depend on them so much that we never really stop to look at the filters themselves, right? We look at the external reality, and many of us perhaps, blame the external reality for our circumstances, or we come to judgments about the external reality that, oh, I don't like this, I hate that, I wish this would be different, I need to change this. But not many of us really take the time to turn that kind of attention on the filtering process itself. And that is really, I think, one of the main goals of, for me, of this podcast, is turning our attention to our own filtering processes, because this is really where we can instill some profound changes. And this is really what the practice of awareness, of mindfulness, of meditation is all about. It's about looking very, very carefully, closely at our own filters, our own habits of thinking, of feeling, and of behaving. Because if we're not doing that, then we are going to, in a sense, the best way to put this is that you are not really making conscious choices in each and every moment that you are alive. You are simply reacting based on the filters that you've never changed from your past. So every moment starts to appear monotonous, starts to appear the same, and it starts to appear like you really can't change it. And so the process of changing our karma is really the process of turning our own perception back on ourselves. And this is where I had left off just before the break, is the gift of the consciousness that we have. The gift, one of our most profound gifts, I think, is the capacity for reflective thinking, right? And this is something, as far as we know, that is unique to human beings, is the ability to, exactly what reflective thinking is. It's the ability to think about our own thoughts, right? To be able to, perhaps have some internal monologue about something that happened, and to be able to pause and look at it and go, gosh, that's really negative. Why am I thinking like that? Right? We have the capacity to do that. And this, the practice of becoming aware of our karma, becoming aware of these tendencies, is basically taking this reflective thinking ability and practicing it, strengthening it, taking it to perhaps some would say an extreme level. Now, there may be some people out there who say, hey, you know, yeah, this is all like, I understand what you're saying, but that's not the definition of karma that I've always heard. Okay, my definition has always been about past lives. So what about past lives? How do you explain that in your definition of karma? And this is, again, where we could really go off on a tangent here and get into a lot of complexity. Just to try to do this succinctly and briefly, which is not really my forte, let me just put that out there. It's interesting when you look at the way we look at life, our lives, right? The habitual way is basically to look at our birth, the birth of these physical bodies, as the beginning of our life, my life, your life. And then we look at the death of the physical body as the end of that life, your life, my life, whatever. But when we begin broadening our perspective and looking at karma on a much larger, I guess, scale, you begin coming across this idea that life is not really defined that way. And Zen talks a lot about this. Nietzsche in Buddhism talks a lot about this. A lot of modern quantum physics talks a lot about this. Is that I think Eckhart Tolle puts this in a very good way in his book Power of Now. Is he says, Alan Watts also. Let me throw that in there. Alan Watts. I did a recent podcast episode on one of his talks, and he also alluded to this. Is that I'm going to use Eckhart Tolle's example here because I think it's just the quickest one to get across. But it's like you have a temporary dance of molecules that come together and create this physical body, right? And we give the body a name. We give it a memory. We give it a history, right? We account for our own history, you know, and we tell stories of our lives and we begin to build this identity over this temporary dance of molecules, which is what Eckhart Tolle calls it. When this temporary, you know, collection of molecules dissolves, we say the life has ended. But those molecules have basically just the energy that was holding those molecules together and the energy that holds all that is together is not defined by the outer layer of our skin, right? It's all one energy. It's just different areas of it coalesce into different things, into different objects at different times, again, from our perspective. But ultimately, it's all one life. This whole universe is basically one life. So when you look at the idea of karma from a perspective like that, it really changes the meaning of, you know, past life, current life. Those ideas are still subject to this belief that there is an entity separate from the rest of the universe that goes through different physical experiences of living. And my personal belief, not to judge anybody else's belief, is that it's not really one separate entity that is separate from all else that moves from one body to another. It is basically life itself recreating itself through different physical manifestations. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the idea of, for example, like the cosmic soup analogy. That kind of works for me on some level. So you have, for example, let's say a family, a group of people that have been living together for 50 years. One of them dies, and maybe a second one dies. They have a child. Before they die, they had a child together. And so in a sense, you can say in a way that karmically, that child that is born is kind of like the reincarnation of those two people who died, right? Because they gave birth to that child. So there's genetic karma. There's a cultural type of karma. There's religious type of karma, meaning religious beliefs. There's a behavior, I think I said that already, behavioral. There's even a historical type of karma, which humans pass down from generation to generation. So you see all these different levels of karma coming together and creating this, present moment through what would be probably untraceable trillions of causes and effects, right, happening over millions and millions of years that create this present moment. So when you look at karma that way, this kind of more cosmic soup perspective, then you can kind of start to see how this idea of past life, current life, it's still kind of taking the whole and break trying to break it out into separate entities that you could somehow keep track of, right? Like, I'm George in my past life, I was David, and David did this, so now George is going to experience that. It's not quite that black and white, quite that straightforward. There may be, three different people from my quote unquote last life who did something to shape my current experience. But again, I think there's very little control I have over that. What I can do in this present moment, and this is really where is the most important part of this whole thing, is it doesn't matter to me so much why my life is the way it is. I don't need to go back and trace every single cause for me to blame. For me to say, oh, this is why my life is like this. It's karma. It's because of this and this and that and the other. No, it's useless, right? It's not about why. My real question, where I should really focus my attention, is what is the karma that is in place, and how do I change it? That's all I care about. I don't care how it came, right? I mean, why it came. I want to know how to change it. That's what I really want to know, is how to change it. So that is really the message that I want to get across here, is how do you look at your current moment-to-moment reality, and how do you change the way you look at it? Because when you do that, then you really start to get a taste of what it really means to be free, right? Karma is really about not making free choices about how you live your moment-to-moment reality. It's about there being events from the past that are making choices for you. These filters that were created in the past that are now possibly making decisions in how you interpret your moment-to-moment reality in the present. We don't want that, right? We don't want that. We want to treat each moment that appears in our present as a new opportunity full of potential for anything to happen, right? And we want to be able to make choices in each and every moment that represent the highest degree of freedom, right? The highest degree of free will. And that is really, I think, what's how you celebrate what it means to be a human being, is being able to not live according to past habitual tendencies. And that's something that I believe, again, is unique, a unique gift that we as human beings have. So we need to use the practice of, as I talk about here all the time, meditation is key to this, because as you meditate, your karma will show itself to you. Absolutely. What you think about, what you feel, how you behave, it's going to reveal itself to you in meditation. Not one sitting, unfortunately. I wish it happened that way. But the practice over time will show you. Mindfulness is also a wonderful way to do this. Really working with another person too, I would say, someone who could show you your own habits of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Because a lot of times we have blinders, right? We don't see ourselves. We need somebody else to help us with that. So that can also be very helpful. A group is also helpful with that. And these are the practices that we need to start using, to really, really look deeply into our own karma and begin to unravel it. And through that process, we could then make powerful changes, to our lives. So karma is in no way, it doesn't have to be, let me say, it doesn't have to be a limiting thing. It could actually be, through our karma is how we can actually discover more and more freedom. So I hope that this all came across clearly. I realize it was a little bit dense. But anyway, I hope you found it helpful. I'll be back tomorrow, another installment of our Zen stream. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.